The commencement of our service this morning. Welcome you all to, as you join us for worship this morning, and praying that God's blessing will be upon us as we meet together in His name this morning. We do appreciate your continuing to comply with the restrictions that we have in place entering and exiting and while in the building. This is all for our safety as we meet in the Lord's house each time. Remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings as you give to the Lord's treasury. The evening service tonight, again, we're speaking on the subject of heaven tonight, the glory of heaven, and it's part three of the series. Our sister Natasha will minister in song. Do come and join us again this evening for the time around the Word of God. The time of prayer, 6:20 to 6:45, in the youth room upstairs again. We appreciate the prayers of God's people as we meet together around the throne of grace before the evening service. Tuesday night, the Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 o'clock. Do remember that, please. And we encourage you to attend and seek the Lord's face in prayer with us. Then also, could I mention, next Lord's Day is Harvest Sunday, when we meet again. The Sunday school meets at 10, and the Harvest Service, 11:30, preacher Mr. Reverend Joshua Moffat from our Bangor Church. And the soloist is Mr. David Warwick. In the evening time, the preacher is Reverend Ryan McKee from Macrofelt, and the singers Reverend and Mrs. McKee. And again, the season of prayer prior to the evening service. It's a special gift day for our building fund, so there's no building fund today, but next Lord's Day is a special gift day, and there'll be the offerings for the building fund next Lord's Day. We appreciate your generosity. With present conditions, we're not asking people to come with flowers, fruit and vegetables. There'll be a small decoration in the church again this year. Again, with restrictions, we're not having the Monday night harvest this year. We're hoping to get back to that soon, but that's the way it is at the moment. Do you remember those who have sicknesses and going through treatments? Remember our sister Mary as she continues her treatment this week. And remember Irene McBurney as she waits for her surgery. And others who are ill, we just heard today of Bill Houston being ill. Do remember Bill in your prayers this morning. And others who have various conditions and consultations going on at the moment. Last Lord's Day, the missionary offering for Brother Mr. Andrew McMullen came to £707. And for Christina Logan, £712. We thank you for your giving. We have a little note here from our brother Andrew McMullen, thanking you for the gift. And also there was a gift from the Sunday School of £250 toward Andrew and Beulah's work. So we thank the boys and girls and the teachers in the Sunday School for that as well. If you want to, you missed out last Lord's Day, you want to give to either of those folk, you can still do it, but please indicate that it's for them when you put it into your offering. If any can help with parent and toddlers, we're hoping to start this soon. And again, so if you can help out with this, then your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you for those who have volunteered already. Again, children's meeting, Awana, youth work, we're looking to start youth fellowship pretty soon. So please be in contact with leaders. We're always looking for volunteers and helpers in these various aspects of the work. We're hoping to get things underway as it's safe to do so. And please remember all of these matters in your prayers. We're going to join in the singing of the opening praise, which is Psalm 130 this morning on your screen. Lord, from the depths to thee I cried my voice. Lord, do thou hear unto my supplication's voice. Give an attentive ear. Keeping our seats, and then, if you're able, you'll stand for prayer, please.
Thank you.
Eternal, gracious and loving Father, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. As we bow before thee, our God and Father, we pray for thy presence with us as we meet together in thy name. We pray for the Spirit of God to visit us today, taking of the things of thy word and revealing them unto us. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst speak to every heart, especially the hearts of those that know thee not, that thou wilt bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O Father and our God, this day that thou wouldst remember those, O God, today who are in particular need, those of thy people who are downcast, those, O God, who have sicknesses. We commend them to thy care even today. We thank you for answered prayer for Mary as she goes through the treatment. Continue to be with her. Remember Catherine as she undergoes treatments as well. Remember her today. And we pray for Irene that soon she will have this surgery. We do thank thee for answered prayer for Norman Boyle, bringing him through this surgery. We pray for healing for him and bless his family at this time. Lord, we ask of thee for Eric's wife too. Remember her and touch her. And we pray that she may know thy presence. And we ask, Lord, for our brother, Reverend Barnes, too, at this time, that he will know thy healing touch upon him. Remember Bill Houston this morning. We do pray for Bill, Lord, that thou wilt touch him, that thou wilt minister to his need, and that thou wilt grant him that healing touch from thee. And we pray, Lord, for others too, Lord, who are going through consultations and waiting for treatments and waiting for various, Lord, aspects of their health to be looked at. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt undertake for them and help them. Remember those who still genuinely cannot meet with us in the house of God because of their circumstances, that thou wilt meet with them. For others perhaps who have grown cold and complacent, and even, Lord, careless about attending the house of God, that thou wilt stir their hearts again. Give them that interest to come and to make, Lord, that effort to come into the house of God again as it is safe for them to do so. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember the needs of the congregation, the various works. We thank of the Sunday school that has resumed, and thou wilt bless it, not only now, but in days to come. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember, too, the needs, O God, of the children's work and the youth work, that this will be able to resume as it's safe to do so. And we pray, Father, that thou wouldst guide and direct in every decision that has to be made, that we reach out to our community with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our evening service. We pray, Father, that people will gather then too to hear thy word and to listen to the songs of Zion. And grant that, O God, thy blessing will be poured out upon us tonight. Remember our harvest weekend, that, Lord, it will be a time of blessing too, as we remember the harvest and what thou hast done for us in the temporal sphere of life. So be with us, our God, this morning, with our sister congregations, with our land. We know the Sabbath desecration, even this day, O God, that's going on. But, Lord, we cry to thee that thou wilt return this land to what it was in its centenary. Away back, Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon this land again. And, O God, that thou wilt rise up to deliver and to save for thy mercy's sake. For the glory of thy name, we ask all these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story of the lepers in the New Testament and Luke's Gospel. And of course, these lepers, they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were in great need as they came to the Lord Jesus Christ, because this leprosy had overtaken them. And boys and girls, leprosy was a terrible disease. It meant that they had to isolate. Maybe you've heard that in these times in which we live. But they had to not be in their homes or with their families. They were separated from them. And of course, leprosy speaks of sin. But these lepers cried out to Jesus. And they cried out to the Lord Jesus that he might have mercy upon them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, did have mercy. And he told them to go show themselves to the priest, because it was only the priest that could indicate that their leprosy had gone, that they were healed. And so they went. But boys and girls, as they went, they were healed. They were healed of their leprosy. And they went away different. And they were changed. The sores were gone. The pain was gone. The leprosy was gone. And so it was a wonderful experience for these 10 men. But you know, boys and girls, there was only one of them. There was only one of them. One of these lepers that were healed. While there were 10 that were healed, only one went back to give thanks unto the Lord. And boys and girls, how often we can be ungrateful and unthankful as these 9 lepers were. But the one man, he came and he bowed down, he kneeled down in humility before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave thanks. And boys and girls, that's what the Lord requires of us today too. To come to the Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. If the Lord has saved you, if the Lord has changed your life, if you know Him as your Savior, then, boys and girls, you come and you give thanks unto the Lord, as this leper did. And he went away changed. Boys and girls, what joy filled his heart as he glorified God for what the Lord had done for him. And boys and girls, if you come to the Lord and ask for His mercy, and ask for His cleansing, and ask for His salvation, then too, you can go away like this man did and give praise and glory to the Lord for what He has done for you. May the Lord help us to learn from the story of the 10 lepers, even this morning. And most of all, boys and girls, that you will give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we're going to sing a chorus, "Wide, wide is the ocean." We'll sing it through twice, boys and girls, and you can do the accents as we keep our seats and sing together. Together from the Word of God this morning in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, reading together from the opening verse. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, reading from the opening verse. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. In the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, to the half-tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives and your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land, which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. And ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you, on this side Jordan toward the sunrise. They answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we also hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. We're going to sing this hymn, Courage, Brother, Do Not Stumble, 553. It's on the screen. Courage, Brother, do not stumble, though thy path be dark as night. There's a star to guide the humble. Trust in God and do the right. Number 553. But keep our seats, and then if you're able, stand for prayer before the preaching of the word.
Thank you.
loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we turn now to the preaching of thy holy word. I am trusting thee for power, thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning from the book of Joshua, particularly the subject Joshua the Conqueror. The pages of history are littered with the names of those who were conquerors in their day. We could mention William the Conqueror, Alexander the Great, those two in history, even in our own nation, who conquered, and their names are recorded for what they achieved and for what they accomplished, often involving tremendous sacrifices on their part and on the part of those who stood with them. During 100 years of Northern Ireland's history, many have made great sacrifices in order to protect and preserve us from evil and wicked forces that sought our destruction. And great courage and commitment was required as they stood between us and our enemies. In the Word of God, there are many, many names that stand out because of their steadfast courage and their earnest commitment. None more so than Joshua the Conqueror. He was God's man in God's time to lead the people of God, Israel, to the land of promise, even the land of Canaan. The name Joshua in Hebrew is the same meaning as the name Jesus in Greek. In Hebrews 4 and 8, the translators of our authorized version substituted the name Jesus for Joshua. And both names mean Jehovah is Savior. And as we look at this man, this character that comes before us in Holy Scripture, I pray that God will challenge our hearts to stand as Joshua stood in his day, even in our day and generation. And so as we look at lessons from the life of Joshua, I want to deal with this theme, Joshua the Conqueror. First of all, we want to look at his background. Joshua was born into the tribe of Ephraim, one of the most dominant tribes of Israel, second only to Judah. He was the spiritual heir to Moses. And Joshua led the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. We cannot help wondering what happened to Moses' sons. Did Moses fall so far short in his duty as a father that he failed to bring up his sons properly? After Moses led the people out of Egypt, why did not Gershom and Eliezer, Moses' sons, step into their father's great footsteps and lead Israel on to victory? We do know that something went wrong because Gershom's son Jonathan acted as a priest to the Danites when they set up a graven image for their tribe. But it is often true, men and women, that the family of a man of God does not recognize him as such, while other people do recognize him as a man of God. Gershom and Eliezer may have been aloof from Moses, but certainly Joshua was found close to Moses. And this young man, Joshua, found Moses to be a man of God, and he stood close to him and took up his stand near to this man, Moses. You see, Joshua saw a wonderful example in Moses. He was given glimpses of the greatness of this man. And the Amalekites launched their treacherous attack against Israel. Moses searched for a warrior that he could leave in the valley to fight the physical foe. while he went up to the mountain to fight the spiritual foe. And Joshua was that man that was selected. We read of that there in the book of Exodus, in chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. In the typology of Scripture, Amalek represents the flesh at work. And when we lose our temper, when we react angrily to a slight or an insult or an accusation, or have a bad attitude, then of course, we manifest the flesh. Victory over Amalek symbolizes victory over the works of the flesh, that we might manifest in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. It's mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Moses chose Joshua on another occasion when he sent 12 men to spy out the promised land. And that excursion there was invaluable for the training of a future leader. He would yet have to cross the Jordan, of course. He would need to size up the foe. And Joshua saw the same Canaanite giants, the same high walls, the same sons of Anak, as did the other spies. Others saw a defiant foe, but Joshua saw a defeated foe. Moses was satisfied with Joshua. Moses was content. Joshua would become his heir. He would become the successor of Moses. And he would lead the people into the land of promise. Joshua did not let Moses down. And so Joshua was prepared by his background to become Moses' successor. He was prepared by devotion, by his commitment to Moses, and all that he stood for among the people of God. He was prepared by executing discipline, by subduing Amalek. He was prepared by duty, by carrying out assigned duties with spiritual insight and courage. No matter how difficult and how dangerous those responsibilities were, he carried them out as the Lord would have him do so. And so we have his background. But then we think about his Bible. That's the second thing I want you to notice about Joshua this morning. And the mantle of Moses fell upon Joshua. Suddenly that whole weight of responsibility was his. What should he do? Where could he turn? The older generation was gone. Those who had pioneered this great movement were all dead. Moses and Aaron and Miriam and Phinehas. They were all gone. Only Joshua and Caleb remain. But this movement, my friend, could not stand still. You see, movements that no longer move become monuments. The next step for Joshua was to cross Jordan. And he must have wondered, how am I supposed to move these 3 million people, the children of Israel, to the other side of the river? How can I persuade so many to begin this new life of victory in the land of promise? And Moses sent 12 spies, but only Caleb and Joshua appreciated what God was planning to do for his people. And what did Joshua do? Did he turn to Caleb for advice? Well, maybe he did. No doubt he had conversations with him. But primarily, dear friends, he turned to the Word of God. In Joshua 1:8, we've read the verse this morning. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, Joshua realized now he did not need Moses, for he had God's word to guide him. And sometimes, you know, in the course of our Christian lives, we're always looking for someone to prop us up. And we're always looking to lean on somebody else. But first and foremost, dear friends, we need to lean upon the Lord. We need to get to the Scriptures and get guidance from the Word of God. And so with God's Word in His hand and its truth in His heart, no situation could conquer Joshua. No matter what happened, he would never need to be in doubt about what he should do. He would search the Word of God. He would search the Scriptures. He would be governed in his life by the Scriptures. How many people today think, oh, I'll do this, I'll go there, I'll do the other thing, on this whim or fancy, and this feeling. I feel I should do this. Well, you may feel you should do that, but what does the Word of God say? What does the Bible say? Is the Bible telling you, is God telling you to do that? Are you just going on some feeling that you have yourself? Joshua had a lamp for his feet and a light on his path. And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. His own courage and wisdom would be inadequate for the struggles and the situations and the strongholds he must face. But he had God's Word, and so have we this morning. In fact, we're even in a better position because he only had the five books of Moses. We have all the Scriptures. We have all of God's Word. And so we can turn to the Scriptures and know exactly. We have got this wonderful resource of God's Word this morning. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, We have a more sure word of prophecy, one to which we will do well to take heed, listen, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. And Christian, this morning, take heed to God's word. Don't be listening to what you read on the internet. Don't be looking at what men are telling you in this world today. Get to the Scriptures. Abide by the Scriptures. Follow God's word, and you'll not go wrong. You'll have the courage of Joshua. The third thing is, not only his background, not only his the fact that he was in the Word of God, his Bible, but thirdly, his beliefs. Joshua matured quickly when he was forced to shoulder complete responsibility for the future of God's people. And that is not at all uncommon. I was reading of a Christian lady who matured overnight when she was suddenly widowed. Her husband had been a strong leader and a steady Christian. She had depended upon him for everything, and rightly so. But when he was taken home to heaven, in the prime of life, she was left with the task of raising three little children by herself. And faced with this responsibility, she became a mature woman of the Word. She brought her children to the Scriptures. She matured them so well that they brought her much credit. And she earned the Lord's well done. Great will be her reward in heaven. You see, belief is so important. And people don't want us to have a belief today, particularly a belief in the Scriptures. They want to deride you for that, and they will deride you for that. It's all right for them to have their beliefs. But when we believe the Word of God and when we preach the Word of God, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to know that. The media don't want to know that. The world at large doesn't want to know that. Maybe even your family don't want to know that. You'll notice the land here. The land of Canaan was the vision of Joshua. He had already seen what Canaan offered. And he longed for every man, woman, boy and girl in Israel to cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan. One taste of the fruit of Canaan
And he wanted everyone to taste. Some of God's people, of course, even in Joshua's time, suggested going back to Egypt. But that was not for Joshua. He wanted the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. He wanted Canaan with its battles and with its blessings. He wanted Canaan where God's people would find victory and peace. Are you looking back to Egypt, Christian? Looking back to the flesh pots of Egypt? Looking back to the world? Because that's what Egypt speaks of. My friend, look to the land of promise. Look to what God has promised His people. The land. But then there's the life, and it's new life. You see, when Joshua led God's people to Jordan, he placed 12 stones from the wilderness on the side of the river, in the midst of the riverbed. As some of the people arrived in the promised land, Joshua built a memorial with 12 other stones that were taken from the riverbed. From then on, that memorial bore testimony to God's people that they had crossed the Jordan. The old life in the wilderness had been forsaken. The new life had begun on the victory side of death. You see, Jordan speaks of death. Death to all we are by nature. But thank God, new life is ours in the Lord. And this new life was to be made of sterner stuff than memorials or rites, no matter how sacred and scriptural they might be. You see, according to Joshua chapter 5, verses 2 to 9, circumcision was required. And circumcision brought the cutting edge of the cross to the flesh. It's one thing, dear friends, to enter into the victory of Christ's death and burial and resurrection positionally. Something else to enter into it practically. And Israel had to remove everything that represented the energy of the flesh. Before they could draw the sword on their foes, they had to draw the knife on themselves. And after the Israelites were circumcised, the Bible tells us in Joshua 5 and 10, they kept the Passover. This spoke of their faith. They remembered that their salvation had its roots in the Passover lamb. If the people forgot that truth, they would not be able to experience victorious living in Canaan. They were in the promised land by virtue of the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. But for that, they would still be in Egypt, in bondage. Furthermore, they ate the old corn of the land, and the manna ceased. Joshua 5, verses 11 and 12. This spoke not only of their faith, but of their future. You see, the manna was all well for the wilderness. It was good for the wilderness. But the corn was for the land of Canaan. It would fortify them for battle. The manna represented Christ as the bread of heaven. He's the bread of life. The milk of the Word provided for His people while they were yet carnal. The corn represented Christ as the food for His people when they became men, when they became mature. The manna had been sufficient while the Israelites were in the wilderness sojourning. But they needed the corn in the land of Canaan in order to become soldiers. My dear friend, we need that corn in order that we might be soldiers of the cross and followers of the Lamb in this day too. And so we have the land. But then we have the Lord. How could the Israelites ever be able to scale the massive walls of Jericho? That was Joshua's problem. They were walled up to heaven. Suddenly a man appeared holding a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua challenged him there in verse 13 of Joshua 5. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? In other words, he's saying to him, whose side are you on? See Joshua 5:14, nay, but as captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord, am I now come? The man replied. He was the captain of the Lord's host. And Joshua instantly realized that he was in the presence of the Lord, that the living Christ was there before him. And he fell at his feet. You see, here we have a wonderful picture in the Old Testament of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have several of these in the Old Testament. And this is one of them. The Lord Jesus Christ was revealed to Joshua. He fell at his feet. He was on holy ground. All the weight of responsibility shifted from Joshua's shoulders to the mighty shoulders of the Lord. The battle wasn't Joshua's. It was the Lord's. It's good to remember that, dear friends. Because sometimes we forget that. In fact, often we forget that. The Lord's in control. It's the Lord's battle. That's what we're engaged in. Never forget that in your family situation. Never forget that in your work situation. Never forget that in the world situation. Keep your eyes on Christ. And Joshua got his eyes on Christ here. He got his eyes on Christ. You need to get your eyes on Christ, Christian. Get your eyes on Christ in your family. Get your eyes on Christ in your community. Get your eyes on Christ in your workplace or in the school or college, wherever you are. Keep your eyes upon Christ. And all that Joshua had to do was to trust and obey. And he rose to his feet and the burden was lifted. And victory was certain, for the Lord had taken command. And Joshua based his belief on the facts regarding a new land, a new life, a new Lord back it. And we too today, men and women, can stake everything on such facts. Only our Canaan is a heavenly Canaan. Not an earthly king. It's a heavenly king. When we cross our Jordan, we enter a realm known as the heavenlies. We will enter into the joy of our Lord. What a day that will be. When we see the Lord face to face. We'll be thinking about that tonight. When we see the Lord face to face. What glory that will be for us. But then we see, fourthly, his battles. And there are many battles to be fought in the pilgrimage to heaven. Battles large and small. But all have to be fought in the strength of the Lord, that we might overcome. Chapter 6 of Joshua, you'll see, the formidable city of Jericho gives us an example of one of Joshua's major foes. Jericho was one of the major cities. A great walled city. It stood squarely across Joshua's path. Not a step could be taken without first dealing with Jericho. Failure would mean failure everywhere. Nobody can rule over a kingdom he or she has not already subdued. No sooner does a believer stake his claim in the death and resurrection, burial and resurrection of Christ, then all the resources of grace are made available to them in the Lord. We have all these resources today. We don't need the resources of this world. We've got all we need in Christ. At the same time, a believer discovers in their path some major obstacle in order to live a holy life. And that obstacle has to be dealt with first. It may be an enslaving habit. It may be a set of godless friends. It may be a besetting sin. It may be a temperamental weakness. It may be an unsaved fiancé. It may be a mean boss. Whatever the obstacle is, it stands in the way of future spiritual progress. And this major foe will test whether or not the believer really means to go all the way with God. Are you willing to go all the way with God today? Are you just half-hearted Christians? Sort of a Christian that have a passport to heaven and say, well, I'm a Christian and I don't need to do all these things. I just have the passport and get through the pearly gates and that'll be me. But see how Joshua dealt with Jericho. Chapter 6. First he acknowledged the lordship of Christ by submitting to the man with the drawn sword that we've mentioned. Chapter 15, verses 13 to 15. And after his decisive experience, he engaged in a daily exercise. He practiced obedience. You see, Joshua didn't attempt to deal with Jericho himself. It was not his resolve, it was not his resistance or his resources that brought victory. It was a case of trust and obey. And that's how it ought to be in your Christian life. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And day by day he simply led the people to walk around Jericho. And Joshua obeyed because he had a definite expectancy. He had faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. And Joshua dared to believe that God would sweep away this obstacle as long as he was willing to cooperate with him. And he was. And the walls of Jericho fell down flat. God gave the victory. He conquered. By trusting and obeying. The next thing. Joshua experienced a devastating defeat at Ai. Chapter 7. Now Ai compared to Jericho was a little city. Joshua in some degree and measure discounted it and acted in the energy of the flesh when he attempted to take it. What a mistake that was. He made decisions without prayer and without guidance from God's word and he was defeated. And you know, men and women, sometimes after a great spiritual victory, the big temptation we face is to think, well, that was a big problem and now it's a little problem. I don't need the Lord in this. I can do it in my own strength. I can manage these minor obstacles myself. But remember this, dear friend, that the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. If Joshua had spent time with the Lord before attacking Ai, God would have guided him. He would have saved himself from a humiliating loss. God had declared emphatically that all the spoils of Jericho were his. They were to be placed in his treasury. Chapter 6, verses 18 to 19 of Joshua tells us that. But Achan was there. A man in Joshua's arm, he stole the spoils. He hid them away in his tent. He was full of covetousness. Until his secret sin was exposed and judged, God's people would not be victorious at Ai or anywhere else. And it was exposed and it was dealt with. And God gave victory to his people again. Sin in the camp must be exposed. Sin in the camp must be dealt with. Among God's people, sin in our hearts must be removed. In order that we might know the blessing and the fullness of God's favor in our lives. When an individual's unconfessed and uncleansed secret sin can affect the whole corporate life of the whole body of believers. You'll notice also chapters 9 to 11 of Joshua. These Gibeonites are mentioned here. They pretended to come from a distant land. And they offered Joshua an alliance and promised to submit to his rule. It all seemed genuine. Joshua was taken in. He acted independently of God and without seeking God's guidance again. He signed a peace treaty with the Gibeonites. He soon discovered he had been deceived. For Gibeon was not a faraway place at all. In fact, it was the next land slated by God for destruction. And God made Joshua live with his foolish treaty. It was to cost Israel dearly later on. In 2 Samuel 21, verses 1 to 9. You see, we make some mistakes in our Christian lives. These can be very costly mistakes. But often God lets us live with the consequences. as he did Joshua and Israel this occasion. Finally, we see the multiplied foes Joshua had to face. There were two occasions when everyone seemed to be against him. First occasion was a strong coalition of southern kings joined against Joshua. God helped Joshua in a way that it escapes the providential side of a spiritual victory. Chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. God simply stepped into the situation in a way that was both spectacular and supernatural. There could be no doubt it was God that gave to Joshua and Israel a miraculous victory. God can intervene in our situation. God can intervene in the situations of our land and our nation and the world situation if He so desires. He can change the whole situation round. We must always remember but God. And the but gods of Scripture remind us of God's intervention. Second occasion was when Joshua faced a coalition of his northern enemies. And this time God helped Joshua in a way that illustrates the personal side of a spiritual victory. Throughout Joshua chapter 11 we see the army of Israel smiting the foe with the sword until they were subdued. God was fighting for his people, but he provided on this occasion no supernatural signs. They had matured. They no longer needed miracles. They had learned how to handle the sword. And how we need to learn spiritually to handle the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And to be able to use the sword of the Spirit, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And men and women, let us get this today. That the Church of Christ needs to wield the sword of the Spirit. Now the people taken up with the flesh. Oh, we must do this. We must act in this way, in a fleshly way, in a carnal way. But God would have us to use the sword of the Spirit to wield it against the enemies of God and against those who oppose righteousness and truth in our day and generation. And so we have His battles. Battles that we face in our Christian lives too, from day to day. But then finally His brethren. You see, when the man of God, Joshua, realized his life was almost over, he gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel. Chapter 24, verse 1 of Joshua, the name Shechem means strength. And so Joshua summoned God's people to the place of strength, and there he challenged them. Chapter 24 of Joshua, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. And at the end of that verse he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, at this time God's people were being in great danger of being ensnared by new idols. And so Joshua warned them, chapter 24, verse 23, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you. Incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And here's this man, Joshua. He had blazed a trail for the Israelites. He brought them to the principles of God's word and of spiritual victory. He had lived victoriously before them. Of course he had his faults, as we've seen. He made the mistakes. He learned from them. But you know, he could not live their lives for them. None of us can live our lives for somebody else. Even the most godly Christian can't live their lives for somebody else. You Christian today have to choose the side of victory. And Joshua had made his choice years before, when he'd given his wholehearted support to Moses. He had made a commitment to trust and obey God, and he stood by that commitment. He wasn't a fair weather Christian. Say, I'll come to church when things are bad. When things are difficult, I'll trust God, or I'll come to the prayer meeting when things are good. No, friend, he came before the Lord all the time. And so we should come to the prayer meeting all the time. And be in church all the time. Not make excuses. I know there are genuine things that prevent people at this present time from coming, but as time goes on, I just wonder how long people are going to keep up their excuses, apart from serious health conditions. He'd been brought up, and he brought up his family to do the same, and he urged the people of God to live by the principles of God's word. May we too in our day live by the same principle, not digress or deviate from it day by day. The words of the hymn we're about to sing in a moment. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. With all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. Joshua the conqueror. He conquered. And may the Lord help us in our lives as Christians, day by day, with all of the dangers and difficulties and all of the things that would sidetrack us and get us down and cause us distress. May we be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And the secret goes back to Joshua keeping his eyes on Christ. And that's where your eyes need to be, and that's where my eyes need to be. Continually, from day to day. If you're not saved this morning, you need to be saved. Sin has conquered your life. But thank God today there's salvation available in Christ, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. I trust this morning you'll come to Christ and be saved before it is forever too late. May God write His word. Thank you for listening to it this morning in our service. Turn to the hymn 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, and the glory He sheds on our way, when we do His good will, He abides with us still. With all who will trust and obey, we'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn together.
Thank you. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this day. Apply it by the power of Thy Spirit to every heart. To those that know Thee, lead us all closer to Thyself. For those, O God, who know Thee not, that Thou wilt draw them to saving faith in Christ this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen.